It's the LRC. The podcast was a game. We be MVP. Knowledge is power. Lend an ear for the next hour and tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best. Numero uno. We like a sumo. Up against the straw weight. Our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we some Paul Heyman's. Had enough that you can say when. Until then, we gonna keep
killing. Living room boys on top. It's week 14 of the NFL season, and we're chugging right along. I'm Hank. He's Tank. Welcome. Lenny, you're in your mobile office again tonight as we're burning the midnight oil here recording this episode. This is Wednesday? Wednesday,
yeah.
How was the old home opener? Men's basketball, boys basketball, I assume.
Yeah. Home opener, two boys Beavers, loyal sons, home opener boys. High hopes for the team this year. 2-0, coming off a win at the Keystone tournament, and they came home here to face Central Mountain at home. They're without their returning leading scorer and old district player Tyson Kenneth, but now the sprained ankles hasn't played yet this year. And they lost the heartbreaker by three. Missed a pretty good look at three to tie it at the buzzer, so they fall to 2-1. Disappointing effort tonight. Came up a little short. Just wasn't their best game because we got high hopes for the Loyal Suns this year. So I've been doing a lot of basketball watching. I was up the home opener of the girls for Du Bois last night. Watched that game. That was less promising. That team is not very good. They did not perform very well, and they lost quite handily. Then I went today at 5 o'clock to the middle school to watch the eighth grade, and my boy Jeremy, his two daughters play on that, the twins, and watched them play. They lost too. But it was the first time I got to see him this year, so that was exciting to see him play. They're just getting started on their journey.
Cool.
And, it was a good day. Good day of basketball watching. But now we got to talk some football, NFL style, where people get paid lots of money.
Yeah, I'm really trying to pull it together for this one, Len. I was on the road most of the day today, going down to the Commonwealth's capital, the hellscape. That is Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Ever been to Harrisburg, Len?
I've been there, not often. I don't go there often, but I've been there a few times.
Yeah, it's really not that great. I tell you what is pretty great, though, is the convenience store Rutter's. Have you ever been in a Rutter's?
I have not, though. I've heard very positive things, but I have not ever been to a Rutter's.
Yeah, I mean, their bathroom facilities are like the Taj Mahal of rest stops. Just urinals on every wall. You got a block barrier between each of them. I mean, just high class, really puts sheets to shame. Now, I haven't sampled any of the food yet because I'm usually heading into town when I stop. So it's usually just for a bathroom break, maybe a coffee. But I do want to try that food. It does look pretty good. So,
Let me tell you something. You can badmouth sheets all you want, Mike, and you can say that Rutter's is better and all those things. But we know one department.
Right.
Where that is not the case, and that's the ESS department. Tonight, another disappointment, not only a loss tonight.
I was going to say.
No Zings in the LSS tonight. No ESS in the LSS tonight. Just a very disappointing effort for a home opener, I have to say. Now, Dave Zing was, he does do the radio show, of course, under review, and he was recording that, so he has an excuse. Give it to him, but nonetheless, I felt lonely in the LSS today.
Yeah, I bet. Well, you know, we're going to make up for that this weekend at football day. We're going to have a briefcase full of ESS at all times.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I'm going to be leaving some out for you. and we're just gonna be eating them up in our spare time, really, in downtime. Oh. It's gonna be the filler meal.
I can't wait. I cannot wait for this weekend, Mike. It's gonna be a great weekend. What time are we leaving? Two Eastern, or are we leaving earlier than that?
I mean,
what
do you want to eat? I mean, you tell me. I'm figuring sometime between 1 and 2 is what I've told my wife. So
okay, so yeah, that's fine. Whatever, between 1 and 2 is good with me.
Yeah, we've got.
I'll be ready at 1.
We've got to stop and get some ESSs and some primes, and then we're gonna stop and get some pastries of all sorts.
Yeah, cannolis for sure. Yeah. Elf. Yeah.
I might get some. I was thinking of maybe just doubling up on the cannolis, but I might try one of their other things instead.
Look around, because I'll tell you another option there that I'm quite high on. When I was down there for one of my daughter's doctor's appointments, I was in there and I stopped in. I got some cream puffs. So they were delicious too.
Yeah.
Carrot cakes through the roof. Unbelievable. If you like carrot cake, I mean, it's as good as you can get. They have tons of great stuff there. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, they got a lot to choose from. I'm a big eclair guy. Those other puff type pastries they have look really good.
They got everything you could want at that place. All the best.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to peruse that store and eat a lot of
food. Much more excited for the food this weekend than the football, I'm gonna be honest.
Football schedule is not too hot until the night game.
Way playing. I'm not, you know, there's not that much to look forward to. A 4:25 tilt on Sunday against the 49ers at San Francisco is not something that looks very promising for the Seattle Seahawks right now.
No. And before we get started, I do want to say I also, on my way home today, stopped in to Clearfield, Pennsylvania, and got myself a SIDS.
Oh, big SIDS guy.
18 inches of greatness there. So always love to get SIDS when I'm in town over there in Clearfield. So that was good. I really hit the spot. All right, Len, why don't you say we get into some games here? But before we do that, our records last week were an identical 9-4. I just can't gain any ground on Len. It's in the books, people. Len's going to take home his second picks championship in a row. I'm 11 games behind, 104 wins, 73 losses. Len's got 115 wins and 62 losses. And that brings us right in to week 14. We're really getting down here. The playoff race is heating up. The AFC is a little less clear. The NFC, though, seems to have an alpha now after last week's game. But before we talk about the good teams, we got to talk about two of maybe the worst teams in the league. And I'm pushing all my chips in on this now. This Pittsburgh Steelers team is just miserable. They host the New England Patriots this Thursday in what may be, without a doubt, the worst Thursday night game of the season. The Patriots are playing basically their practice squad. They're down their top two receivers, their top running backs, their top defensive players. It's a shit show in New England, just as bad as it is Pittsburgh. But I tell you what, the Steelers are going to win this game at home. This is a bounce back, Len. Obviously, a disappointing loss to the Cardinals last week. We covered it all in the stairway. Just a Tomlin classic. And they're going to bounce back at home, though. This Patriots team is just too beat up to win this one in Pittsburgh. And it's going to be right back in the playoff hunt for the Steelers. So they're taking this one.
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, the Steelers are making the playoffs. As sad as that sounds, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. Pickett, you talked about it on the stairway, but Pickett obviously is out a couple weeks with his tightrope surgery on the ankle sprain. So you got Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, to me, I'd rather see Rudolph at this point. I've always been a Mitch supporter, as you know. But I think we've seen enough. I also think we've seen enough Rudolph. However, it's been a while, so let's see him for a while, first time in a while, see if he's learned anything. And if not him, let's see Trace McSorley off that practice squad they just signed. I mean, this is just putrid. The Patriots have lost 3 games in a row when they held their opponents under 10 points. I mean, this is fucking, like, unprecedented stuff. This is craziness. The Patriots' defense is playing well. The Steelers' offense is horrible. So there's actually I think there's at least a decent chance somehow the Patriots could win this game. I'm going to take the Steelers, I'm going to take the stairway, and I'm going to bet without question for the Steelers defense to score a touchdown this week. I mean, I'll almost be shocked if they don't score a touchdown this week defensively. I'm probably going to parlay both defenses to score a touchdown and just see what I can get there, because I just, these offenses make me sick, and both defenses are just going to have a field day, in my opinion.
It's a pretty good bet. Steelers are pretty banged up on the defensive side of the ball. Watts starting to wear down a little bit. They're taking sacks away from him after the games. He's criticizing the refs, so I don't think they're
whining crying around about getting held.
I don't think they're going to get too many calls in this one, but you're right. It's probably a good bet if they're going to score another touchdown. It might be tomorrow night. I'm taking them, though. You're taking them, too?
I'm taking them, yeah. I have to.
All right, next up, we got our favorite division in the NFL. It should probably be disbanded. This whole division should probably just be eliminated, I would say. The NFC South. We got the Buccaneers and we got the Falcons, both coming off victories, but both just, what do we call it, Len? Mid. Just
They're mid.
Yeah.
The Bucs. At best.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're in Atlanta this week. What do you think about this one?
I don't know. This game is, this team sucks. I hate them. I don't know. The Falcons keep getting enough wins to have the lead in this division. I think they're 6-6. Is that right? Or 6-7?
They're right. Yep, 6-6. 500.
6-6, and the Bucs are what, 5-7?
Yep.
Right. Okay, so we're within a game of each other. I mean, it almost would make no sense for anyone but the Bucs to win this game. I think the Bucs win to get to 6-7 to make the Falcons 6-7, and we'll just keep going the whole way down the end of the season. Those two and the Saints, just whoever the Saints, they'll probably win. They'll probably 6-7 also. We'll just keep going, I think. So I'm going to take the Buccaneers here with no rhyme or reason.
And I'm going to take the Falcons, because when you got two mid teams like this, it's a coin flip, and I need one last gasp here to catch you, and this is one of the opportunities I'm gonna have. So I'm taking the Falcons at home for no good reason. Don't ask me why. All right, next up, we got, this is an interesting game actually, Len. The resurgent Rams storming ahead, charging ahead, if you will, now of narrowly avoiding a devastating injury to Puka Nacua. They got their breakout running back Kyren Williams back. Their defense is doing pretty well. Stafford's slinging it out there to all his weapons, and they go in to Baltimore to face the Ravens, who may be looking like the best team in the AFC right now. One of the best, at least. One of the top three, for sure, I would say, with the Bills and the Chiefs kind of scuffling. So this is going to be an interesting one, though. I got to take the Ravens at home and their element, but this is going to be a good game, a 1 o'clock game. If you ask me, this is going to be pretty competitive. The Rams are better than their 6-6 record, I think, but the Ravens take care of this one at home.
Yeah, the Rams are, I think they're right at their 6-6 record. They're mid. I mean, that's what they are. They're mid. And they're 6-6. That's a mid record. I think the Ravens win. The Ravens have to win. They're at home. They're playing a team that's not as good as them. And Kansas City just lost last week. Jacksonville just lost last week and lost their quarterback for a little bit, probably. So you're looking at trying to establish yourself as the one seed and have the playoffs run through you. This is a game Baltimore has to have, and I think they will have it.
All right. Yeah, we both got the Ravens there. I still think it's going to be an entertaining game. But moving on now to the North, we got the LRC Lions visiting the Chicago Bears. And I tell you what, Len, logic would say you pick the Lions here, but they let them back in the game last week after they jumped out to a 21-point lead. They're letting these teams hang around for some reason. I just think this is the upset special of the week. I'm going to take Chicago at home in this one. What do you think about that?
That's a bold pick. I will say, I mean, Detroit certainly is not peaking right now. They're playing some very uninspired football. Just 2 weeks ago, they should have lost that game to the Bears. They were down, I think, 17 points. So the Bears came back and won that. Then they lost to the Packers on Thanksgiving in a pretty mediocre performance. Then they, you know, escaped last week in a game against the Saints where they didn't look particularly good. The Lions are not hitting their stride right now. The Bears actually are playing a little better, even though the game of the Vikings was one of the grossest games you'll ever want to watch in your whole entire life. They did get a win there. So I'm going to stay with Detroit, but I don't mind you. I think it's a, probably a good upset pick for you, but I'm going to go Detroit to try to get a win here.
Okay. Well, you don't need one. I do. So that's why I'm guarding on a limb. Next up, we got the Colts and Gardner Minshew visiting the Bengals, who teams were writing off. But all of a sudden, AFC Player of the Week, Jake Browning. Here he is. Looked pretty good. Is this a Matt Flynn type situation, Len, or is he going to fall back to earth in this one in Cincinnati?
Yeah, this is a good game. I mean, Browning played obviously exceptional against the Jacksonville. He also played pretty well the week before against the Steelers. It wasn't a terrible performance, I didn't think, even though they lost, but, you know, getting his feet under him. You know how I feel about Minshew. I mean, you know, let's be honest. He's 7-5. They're 7-5. They're about due to lose to go to 7-6. The Bengals are going to win to go to 7-6. I'm taking Cincinnati.
I agree. I'm taking them at home as well. Next up, we got the Jags, who Trevor Lawrence, high ankle sprain. He's going to be pushing to come back as soon as he can. I believe the mathematics are the Jaguars control their destiny for the top seed in the AFC at this point. All roads are looking to go through Duval. Duval County.
Yeah. Duval County. Well, the loss Monday really hurt, obviously.
Yes,
but
obviously. But they're still in the hunt. They're still in the hunt for sure for the top seeds in the AFC. Cleveland, we don't know if they're going to be starting Flacco or Dorian Thompson-Robinson in this one. You never know. P.J. Walker may end up playing at some point. You just never know with the Browns quarterback situation. Flacco looked all right for a minute, and then he threw some interceptions against the Rams. And
just the one interception, a really bad one late. He played pretty well other than that.
He was chucking it. He was chucking it, doing what Flacco does. Is that going to be enough to keep them relevant? I didn't see if they committed to playing him again this week.
They have not, because DTR was supposed to practice today. I didn't see officially if he did or anything like that, but he was supposed to practice today. I assume they want to go back to DTR when they can and have Flacco as the backup, but I don't know that because Flacco did play pretty well last week, so who knows? This is an interesting one.
I mean, to me, if you're Cleveland, you got to go with Flacco. I mean, he played all right. He had the one bad interception at the end of that game, but they were right in it with the Rams until the end. The score did not indicate the closeness of that game.
Right.
He obviously got the playoff pedigree, all the experience. I think if you're serious about making a push with this team and this defense, and you know, Super Bowl contenders probably not, but they can make some noise. And I think at that point you got to go with Flacco over DTR, who's more of a project type guy at this point. Now that being said, Jaguars backup quarterback and this one most definitely in Cleveland. Ooh, this is gonna be a tough game, Len. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, you're going to pass it off on to me. The Jags, C.J. Beathard will make the start there, you know, most likely. Beathard played solid in his, you know, spur of the moment, last minute a replacement there for
– It's not terrible.
No, Beathard's been fine in San Francisco. This is a tough one, honestly. This is – I'm right with you. This is a tough one. I'm going to go with – oh, man. I'm going to go with – I'm going to go with Jacksonville here, but I'm not feeling great about it. But I'm going to go Jacksonville here.
Okay. I'm going to go Jacksonville too. Screw it. They're out Christian Kirk.
I saw it up from Beathard when he was in San Francisco and even on Monday night. I just think Beathard's got enough to get the job done here. Now, the other big thing with Jacksonville I am worried about, though, they lost Christian Kirk for some time with an oblique injury, so that's serious. I think watching that game Monday, you know, I've watched Jacksonville a bunch this year, but not, like, exclusively that many times. So I watched them exclusively, obviously, on Monday, and seeing Kirk go out really changed that game. I mean, I got to be honest, they really aren't that deep at receiver. Parker Washington, the rookie from Penn State, ended up playing a significant role. But Ridley, to me, is, I mean, I was surprised. He just looks so small. He's a very small man, slight man. And then Zay Jones came back. He had a decent game. But I just think they're a little bit thin at receiver without Kirk. So that does concern me quite a bit. But, yeah, I'll go Jacksonville.
I think it's at number zero.
It could be.
Ridley wears that makes him look smaller now than when he played in Atlanta. But I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
as actual.
Actually, it might be the Jags. I think the Jags kind of slimming uniforms because all their guys kind of look smaller now that I think about it. Like Evan Engram for tight end looks slim. ETN looks very slim. I don't know. It's interesting.
Calvin Ridley's 6'1", 190. So I mean,
above he doesn't average. Look that big.
No, it's
got. He looks about 5'10", 165.
That would be as big as me, so
yeah,
it's definitely bigger than me. Awesome. But I also don't wear the number zero, so you can't really make the comparison. All right, Len. So we're both going to take the Jags there reluctantly. I think you could probably flip a coin in this one. It's going to be an interesting game for sure. This will be one I will probably want to tune into on football day. I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a big game for sure.
All right, we got. Just another classic here, the Panthers and the Saints. I really don't like either of these teams at all, but I'm going to take the Saints at home because the Panthers just suck. They just suck.
As I said, the Saints will win. They'll get to 6-7, and we'll have a log jam at the top of the NFC South. 6-7 Saints, 6-7 Falcons, 6-7 Bucks. That's exactly what it should be, and I think that's what it will be after this week.
All right, we got the Houston Texans down their rookie standout wide receiver, Tank Dell. They visit the Jets, who Zach Wilson, they wanted him to start. He's like, actually, you guys kind of jerked me around here. Maybe I don't want to start for you guys anymore. But to the rescue, Len, Aaron Malcontent Rodgers, the CM Punk of the NFL, comes in, talks him down off the ledge, says, Zach, you got this, inspirational. They're teasing his comeback already. Looks like Wilson's probably going to start this game, I guess, because they got rid of...
Yeah, he is. He's official. He's official.
They got rid of Tim Boyle, right? They cut him. So
they did. Yeah. So put him out of his misery. They took him behind the shed.
It's the Zach Wilson show again because of Aaron Rodgers' counseling, really. So another win for number 12, another notch in his Hall of Fame resume is getting Zach Wilson back in the saddle here. What do you think, Len?
Well, I'll tell you this. A couple things you won't expect to hear from me on any podcast, this or any podcast, is any kind of agreement with Aaron Rodgers in any way, shape, or form, or anything like that. But I'm going to surprise you today because while I think the whole story's a bunch of BS, and if you listen to him yesterday, McAfee, you can see some cracks there where he's really leaving the door open that he's not going to come back because they're not going to be in playoff contention. So he's already like covering himself there. However, the story that's been purported here is that Wilson went to a veteran teammate in confidence and asked him, thinking it was going to be a private conversation. Is there any, like, he was kind of thinking about it in terms of a bowl game, like, I'm a little worried about getting hurt here towards the end of the year when we're not, they don't want to really, they don't want to keep me, blah, 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 things like that. And supposedly that veteran player, then leaked this information to the media. And in that situation, and in that case, I will back Rodgers here because he said that was chicken shit bullshit, and it is. If the veteran teammate did that to him, then that's not something I would ever support. I think, if he's going to you for some advice, give him some advice and don't sell him out to the media to make him look like a piece of shit even more than he already does, to be frank. So I will say I agree with Rodgers in that sense. However, Rodgers ain't coming back. He ain't playing. The Jets ain't winning. The Jets stink. Wilson stinks. I'm going to go with the Texans.
Backstage locker room drama sounds very familiar to me, to CM Punk yet again. He is the CM Punk of the NFL. I just want to pause right here, Len. The more I think about CM Punk's first promo on Raw, the more I absolutely hate it. The whole I'm home thing, just disgusting.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
Just bugs. Yeah. I mean, that's Aaron Rodgers of the WWE. It's all bullshit. Nobody, you're not fucking home. You bash this place forever. Yeah, it's complete hypocrisy. And, you know, we know Punk and Rodgers both, two of the biggest hypocrites in the business. And there's no doubt about it.
We'll talk more about that on the sofa, next sofa regimmicking episode. I've got big plans for my picks, and I do want to pause real quick and shout out our boy Don Dawson. Let him know that we're thinking about him. He went through some tough times here recently, so we just want to let Donnie know that we're thinking about him. And
Don's been through it this year. It's been a rough year for him. We love him. He's the man. He was already, before any of that happened here in the last couple of days, that he texted me, wanted to get that regimmicking maybe pushed back a week. He was really trying to figure something out for his guys. I said, we'll work with you. But now, we'll work with you, Don. Don't worry. We'll give you a little bit of time to complete your homework. No problem.
Yeah, I actually needed some.
I haven't even started to think about CB Turner yet, so I'm with him too.
Oh boy, yeah. I should have used one of my respins, but I think I have it now. Lash Legend, I got big plans for you. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh, buddy. Did you watch NXT last night, Mike?
Oh,
did
yeah.
you watch?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Lash Legend's moment of her career last night. Yep. Yes. I love it.
The panel thing too. Yeah.
Yeah,
but she's not doing the what was it, two snaps and a clap?
Yeah, she ain't doing that no more. But
I did like that. But
I'm in on Lash all the way. I've been from day one. I'm looking forward to what you do with her because she's got potential through the ceiling.
Oh yeah. Well, more to come on all that. First off, though, we got to finish week 14 here. Len, we got the Vikings. They get Justin Jefferson back.
Who'd you take, Texans or Jets? Oh, you take Texans?
Well, we're both taking the Texans, I assume.
Okay.
We got the Minnesota Vikings. They get all-pro wide receiver Justin Jefferson back as they make a final push for a playoff spot here. They're keeping Josh Dobbs in the saddle, which I think is the right call, even though he had a 4-interception game the first of his life. I don't think it's, I think you got to stick with Dobbs at this point and see what you got here with all his weapons. But I do think they dropped this one in Vegas.
Yeah, I'm going to go Vikings, actually. I'm going to ride with Dobbs and Jefferson. I think he bounces back from that performance and rewards their loyalty. I think the Vikings win that game.
All right. Well, AOC is no slouch either, and he might.
I'm a big AOC guy. He might be one of the biggest around.
From that bye week, coming off the bye week, he'll be better prepared. Seems to have more chemistry with their pro wide receiver, Devontae Adams, and of course they can run the ball. So I'm going to pick them at home, actually. Seahawks, Niners, Len, I'll give it over to you, even though I think I know the answer. This did not go well for the Seahawks last time a few weeks ago, and the Niners just look like maybe the best team in the league right now after dismantling the Philadelphia Eagles, the one-loss Eagles at the time. What do you think?
Yeah, Niners are rolling. Seahawks played actually a really good game against Dallas for the most part, had their chances to win that game. And really, in my opinion, all came down to one drop by the most reliable Seahawks of them all. Tyler Lockett dropped the crucial ball that, in my opinion, if he catches that ball, they go down and score. They're really going to win that game. However, they once again get themselves in every time there's a situation where you need the play, they don't make the play. And, obviously against San Francisco, that's not going to fly. The Niners are going to win this game handily once again.
Yep, at home I'm taking the Niners too at the Jeans, at the Levi's Stadium. The Jean Palace.
The 505 though.
The Jean Drawer. All right.
Yeah. Buttonfly Arena.
You gonna wear your nicest pair of carpenters, hammer included, Saturday for football day, Len? What do you think?
You know, Mike, I'm gonna wear probably exclusively basketball shorts for the whole weekend.
Okay.
When I need as much room as possible around my belly. Mm-hmm. May bring a pair of sweatpants just in case it's a little chilly down in my den where I sleep. But I'm gonna do all shorts pretty much. Shorts and Crocs. I don't care if it's snowing or not.
I think it's gonna be pretty mild actually this weekend.
Good. So, even better.
I think that's appropriate. All right, we got two teams who should be good, but they're kind of floundering right now, to be honest with you. I don't know if they're legit or not. We got the Bills and the Chiefs. This is an interesting matchup at 4 o'clock, 4:25 hour on CBS.
Man, yeah.
I can see this going either way, honestly. I don't think it's a given the Chiefs win at home, but I tell you what, Len, I'll give it to them at home at Arrowhead in what's going to be a pretty good game. This is going to have big playoff implications, no doubt. What do you think?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I the Chiefs coming off a loss, feels like it's going to be tough to beat them at home coming off a loss. So I'm going to roll with you. I'm going to take the Chiefs. If the Chiefs would have won this week, I was going to take the Bills in this game because I think the Bills are going to throw everything at them, and they have just a much better offense right now than the Chiefs. They just can't get the receiver play they need. But I'm still going to take Kansas City here at home. Their defense has been better at home. I'll take the Chiefs, and I think it's going to be a really good game, though.
Bills might be getting Dawson Knox back for this one, which might help their offense go a little bit more efficiently, running those two tight end sets, 12 personnel that they like to do. I can see them blowing the Chiefs out on this one, too, quite honestly. But I'm going to take the Chiefs at home in a pretty close game, I think. That Chiefs offense has got some problems, sans Patrick Mahomes. So, yeah, but I'm going to give it to him at Arrowhead for sure. If it was in Buffalo, I might take the Bills. But we got the Broncos, who got brought back down to earth last week. They visit division rival L.A. Chargers, who are the king of all the mid-teams in the league, led by Brandon Staley. They narrowly escaped Foxborough with, what was it, a 6-0 win?
6-0, yeah, what a game.
Yeesh. Oh, man, this is a toss-up, too. Ooh, Broncos looking for a win to stay alive. It's hard to believe they're 6-6 now, but they are. Oh, man, Len. Josh Palmer may be back for the Chargers. They activated him. That'll help their offense. Austin Eckler's left some meat on the bone, no doubt. Boy, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Denver on the road, I think. They're not going to be a threat, but I don't mind the way he's playing. So they were close against Houston. They had a chance. So I'm gonna take.
Yeah, they were right in the game. I'm with you. I'm going to ride with Denver. Broncos country, let's ride. I'm going to go with Denver. I think Russ and they figured out the formula to stay in these games at least. You know, where Russ is throwing a little less, they're running a little more, the defense is playing better. Peyton and Russ have figured out the chemistry of what works, not necessarily letting Russ cook, but just letting Russ maybe simmer a little bit, down a little bit, just right at a boiling level, and just keep reducing the game a little bit so it's a close game. So I'm going to go Broncos here because I fucking hate the Chargers. They are the biggest frauds in the NFL. Brandon Staley should have been fired literally 2 years ago. He's still going somehow. Herbert, who coming out of the draft, I proclaimed was going to be a huge bust. I didn't like Herbert at all. Then he stuck it directly up my ass by being just putting up numbers through the roof, and everybody's like, "Oh, you thought Herbert was going to be a bust?" And blah blah blah. You're a fool. And I was eating crow. There's no doubt about it. But guess what happened? They haven't won shit. And he's fucking never wins a close game. So guess what? He is a bust. He hasn't done nothing. Fuck him. Fuck the Chargers. I'm taking Denver.
They should move the Chargers to the NFC South. What do you think?
They should move the Chargers to another city, certainly. They should move the Chargers to, like, Portland or fucking, I don't know, like, somewhere that, like, would appreciate having a football team or something because they have no fans. They share a stadium with another team that has few fans. I mean, it's just bizarre to have two teams in L.A. In L.A. doesn't even care.
Right. It's so weird.
L.A. don't care.
Why is it so weird?
Diego, nobody wanted San Diego. I don't know. Like, let's put them in Oakland or something. Let's put the Chargers in, like, somewhere that wants a football team. I don't know. Oklahoma City. Can they have a football team? I don't know. Somewhere, some city that doesn't have a football team right now that, like, would appreciate one. You know who would appreciate one? San Antonio, I think, would appreciate one. San Antonio Chargers. You know, you change the name. San Antonio Alamos or something. But they should be. The Chargers, I'm just sick of them. I want them to lose. I want Staley fired. I want them to ever live up the hype they get every year, and that just never happens.
You could move the Chargers to San Antonio and then make their logo like a bull, like a charging bull, like at the rodeo.
Yeah, San Antonio Chargers, but a bowl. Yeah, that's good. That's a good idea.
Maybe even some lightning bolt horns on that bowl. Now we're on to
something. No, that ain't bad. That ain't bad.
Now we're cooking. That's a re-gimmick. We just re-gimmicked them on the fly.
We just re-gimmicked the Chargers.
So both Denver in this one for us. Okay. It'll be a decent game. Decent toss up there.
Big Sunday night game, hey, eh? Big.
This is a game worthy of Sunday night here. Did this game get flexed into Sunday night?
No, this is an original Sunday nighter here.
Wow, they planned well ahead here. Eagles coming off embarrassing loss at home to the Niners, outclassed in really every way possible. Jalen Hurts is getting bumped and bruised, and I'm telling you, Len, my prediction of earlier in the year of him maybe having some injury problems as the year goes on, I'm seeing it more and more every game. Man, that scares me. It scares me because I think that team's going to go with him. And they visit Dallas. This was a close game in Philadelphia when these two teams faced off the last time. It's going to be a good game. The Cowboys are firing on all cylinders right now. It's hard to pick against them. At home, they in their last game, they fell behind against the Seahawks. The first time all year, they trailed at home. Oh, man, this is going to be a great game on Sunday night. And I tell you what, though, I'm going to pick the Eagles on the road. What do you think?
Yeah, this is a really, really, really fun, big game. A lot of stakes. This is the moment here. Mike McCarthy had his appendix surgery today. He had his appendix out. So he should be back on the sideline, but I don't know. Who knows? This is just an interesting game, man. I mean, the Cowboys notoriously are frauds. And, historically would lose this game without – I mean, historically, I would laugh at the fact that I thought they were going to beat the Eagles here. This is like a classic game they should lose, But for some reason to me, they feel a little different this year, just a little bit. Okay. So for some reason, I'm going to take Dallas here at home to win this game and give the Eagles a little scare. And your point about Hurts is noted because you're right. I mean, he's starting to get jostled around a little bit. Even after the injury last week where he was treated for, evaluated for the concussion, they brought him back in down 3 scores. I don't even know why. You just give him – that's an opportunity to just give him the rest of the day off. They brought him back in. Didn't make any sense to me. But nonetheless, I'm going to take Dallas here. I'm not overly ecstatic about it, but I'm going to take Dallas. I think they're going to win this one.
Okay, that's fair. That's more than fair, especially at home. It's going to be a really – really good game and a classic rivalry. Two teams definitely. I mean, this is huge implications for the NFC playoff picture and this division. So
yeah, huge.
Monday night we get a BOGO of sorts. Monday night we got the Tennessee Titans who cannot win on the road against the Miami Dolphins who destroy teams that are worse than them. This may be the first time in NFL history they invoke the mercy rule. By halftime, Tyreek Hill will have 2 or 3 touchdowns at least. The Titans are better off just to forfeit this game ahead of time, save themselves the trouble. Derrick Henry is banged up. Will Levis, though, still showing some flashes. He had a nice little sidearm touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins last week that looked really nice. But I got to take the Dolphins, especially at home here against the Titans, who are – I just hate the Titans.
I'm going to take the Dolphins. I'm with you. The Titans are just boring as sin to me. I don't want them to win. The Dolphins need this game. They're in the mix for that number one seed. They have to win all these games that they should win. I think they win this game pretty easily, yeah. Dolphins.
Then to cap things off, we get the Packers, who had the nice win against the Chiefs and are showing some life lately against Tommy DeVito, Len. And the New York Giants, DeVito Mania, starting up there in New York. Tyrod Taylor's due back soon. If not, be available this week. But it's DeVito's show. He's won a couple games here. He's showing some flashes. The Jersey boy. You know what they do, Len. You know what those Jersey boys do, right? They blackmail you. They make you overextend yourselves in the funds, and they bankrupt your university, just like Andre Chase and Chase University, man. Those Sicilians, they'll bend you over if you're not ready.
Yeah, right?
They'll come for you. They'll shake you down. So I could see
that
happening Monday night, but I do think the Packers win this one on the road, and they're going to be above 500.
Yeah, I'm going with Packers. I'm really excited about this Packers team. I was all in on them preseason. I was all in on Jordan Love. I was all in on Christian Watson. I was all in on the Packers to win this division. And, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, basically the whole season, I looked like a fool. It's no big deal. I've looked like a fool many times with many predictions, so it's no big deal. But Love's starting to make me believe again. I think Love's a legitimate good NFL quarterback. I think he's just getting started. Played a huge game against Kansas City. Looked really, really good. He's got some footwork issues where he likes to throw the fadeaways and the one-footers and stuff. I'd like him to clean up. I'm not a huge fan of that for guys that are at his level. Once you get to Mahomes' level, you have a little more freedom to do that bullshit. But yeah, I don't know. At Love's level, you need to probably set your feet and let's make some good throws. So it's a little worrisome there. Watson trying to stay in bounds and kill the clock there, tweaked his hamstring going down. That's very concerning, obviously. So I don't know of his status, but I can only assume he won't play this week. But I don't know that for sure because I haven't looked into it. Nonetheless, I'm going to take Green Bay all the way here. I want them to get into the playoffs very badly over teams like the Rams, like my Seahawks, and teams that just look like shit. I'd rather see Green Bay in there riding a little bit of a hot streak. So I'm going to go with Green Bay. And, you know, but kudos to Tommy DeVito. He made me look like a fool as well after I called him the worst quarterback I've ever seen in NFL history. He's, you know, reeled off a couple wins, played pretty decent. So, you know, hey, again, I'll eat crow. And anybody knows me knows I eat pretty much anything, and that includes crow. So sometimes I'm wrong.
What about humble pie?
Oh, I'll eat humble pie all day, man. I mean, I'll eat humble pie. I'll eat crow. I'll eat whatever you serve up. Revenge is best dish served cold. I'll eat that. I'll eat whatever you want to serve me. And, you know, sometimes when you make a bunch of bold statements like I'm known to do, you get a lot of them wrong, Mike. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you go out on a limb, you fucking break a few limbs when you're as fat as I am. What are you going to do?
Well, I agree with you on Jordan Love. I think he's going to be a fine NFL quarterback, but the problem they're going to have with him is they got to decide quickly because this is year three, and they need to figure out.
Oh, he's getting paid. He's getting paid after this year.
What do you think? More of a Daniel Jones-type contract maybe rather than
– Yeah, he's gonna get a nice payday this year. I mean, it –
bridge
might not be super long, but you might get like a, you know, four years, 160, four years, 200, I don't know, 170.
Yeah.
That's what Daniel Jones got. I mean,
yeah.
Looks better than Daniel Jones has ever looked. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think he was getting a rough run of it in the middle of the season. He was struggling. But he showed flashes recently and at the beginning of the year. He did too. So
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what else are you gonna do unless you get a hot prospect fall right in your lap? I mean, Packers are probably gonna ride with him just like the Steelers are gonna ride with Kenny Pickett for years to come. Yeah. So that's week 14. Len, anything else you wanna add?
No, not much. Not really anything to talk about wrestling wise. We touched base on the little things, but there's nothing really to talk about right now. It's kind of a holding pattern. You got NXT Deadline coming up this Saturday. It's not that exciting, and obviously Mikey and I won't be watching it live because we'll be in the throes of football day and eating food and sleeping and whatever. So we'll catch up on that. And then, you know, the NXT breakout tournament participants were announced last night. I don't have a listing of them, or I haven't looked at them that in depth, but the little things they showed of each of them intrigued me. I probably had four or five I was intrigued by. So maybe we'll look at those over this next week, and then next week talk, break down that breakdown tournament a little bit just to see what we think about the prospects that we have coming up.
You don't think we can sneak in a deadline on one of the televisions or screens there in the Funk House?
We might be able to. We might be able to.
Slip away with some ESS and
yeah.
Be like, hey guys, you should check out this NXT. It's really cool. You might like it, right?
we could try. I'll tell you what's going on. There's no football Saturday, but what is on that is intriguing to me, and probably not so much to you, Mike, but your Pellies are in the mix. The NBA in-season tournament, the finals are Saturday night.
Of course, right.
So and Pellies, Lakers are on one side. Bucks, Pacers on the other side. So we could flip that in Saturday night.
I'm not the biggest basketball guy, honestly, but I wanted to ask what your thoughts on that in-season tournament was. What do you think about that gimmick, Len?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Mike. When it was announced and stuff, I was like lukewarm on whatever. Who cares? But I'll say this: the numbers don't lie about it because all the star players are playing more. And I've watched the games. They're playing harder. They're playing more minutes, and the coverage is more on all media. So that's exactly what they wanted, because the goal of this tournament is to get people talking about the NBA at the beginning of the season through Christmas, when nobody really does till Christmas Day, which is their big triple header day usually. So this is all NFL season, and then college football, obviously. So they don't get a lot of talk. But this tournament's worked in that way because it has got a lot of buzz. And as I said, they got the big teams in it, because Giannis in the Bucks with Dame, they're one of the teams. And then, of course, LeBron is on the other side. They got Zion on the other side. And then Tyrese Haliburton for the Pacers has been one of the big breakout stars this season. So I think the tournament's been a huge success. And what it wanted to do is bring guys to the NBA in the early season. So I didn't know if it would work, but it's worked. I give them credit. I thought it's been a good addition.
And the prize is the NBA Cup. Is that what I understand?
The prize is the NBA Cup, and also the players get a cash prize, Giannis didn't know about till last night. But that's really the incentive for the players, I think, is the cash prize, obviously. But you know, and like I said, the numbers don't lie, because you know, I don't know, you don't follow the NBA that closely, but you know sports, and you know the zeitgeist. The word in the zeitgeist has been too many players, too many star players sitting out, load management. Those things have been really hurting the NBA the last few years, for sure. And because of this tournament, honestly, it's really been down. So that's a positive, in my opinion. Now, after this tournament's over, we'll see. Probably get back into a lot of load management, people bitching about that. But for the tournament itself, the minutes are up. And the stars players' averages are up. They're playing hard. They're playing good in these tournaments, so it's exciting.
Yeah, it's the only thing I've really seen, other than like the Pacers doing really well and the Pellies, of course, is people complaining about the courts being too bombastic, perhaps.
Yeah, the courts may have been a miss. I'll say that. The court designs may have been an overreach to a certain degree, because they're a lot. There's no doubt about it. The courts are a lot, and I don't know why those were necessary. I think you could just play the regular courts. Now, they have some different uniforms. I think that's obviously a moneymaker. The courts themselves, though, who gives a shit? Just play on the court, you know? The semifinals and finals are in Vegas anyway, so it's a neutral court anyway, so it doesn't matter. So I just don't understand the courts. I think that might have been a little bit much, personally. I agree there.
Too bright, the reds and the oranges and stuff. It's just too much. Like his courts, like I always remember, growing up playing like NBA Live. Like you remember what those courts are?
Yeah.
The parquet in Boston, like they just the wood
just wood grain courts, man. I mean, they're just wood courts.
Yeah. NXT Men's Breakout Tournament, Len, a few familiar names in here. We have Miles Bourne, who is probably my favorite. Obafemi, I feel like I've heard of him before. He was the big.
Obafemi made one appearance on NXT TV, I think.
And Luca Crucifino.
Luca Crucifino, a guy that I've been pushing for a while. He kind of showed up and went away, but just seemed to fit perfectly with the family, with the D'Angelo family, as like their mob boss lawyer, right? I mean, there was plenty of opportunity. Tony was in prison. It seemed like Crucifino would have been a perfect fit there as his attorney. You know what I mean? So I think they honestly kind of dropped the ball on that, to be completely honest, and they still don't seem to be going that way. But I might have had to do with the fact that they really went babyface way with the family instead of the nefarious mob family as I thought they were going and they were originally. But to me, it just seems like Cruz Messina is a layup. He's still talking about being illegal in this, you know, in this tournament, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And he's just a lawyer. He's a lawyer. That's his gimmick. Yeah. I mean, that seems perfect fit for the family.
Well, I encourage you to visit crucifinolaw.com, Len. I just pulled it up here. There's some testimonials here. He's got his ongoing cases on this website. So if you want to learn more about Luka and what he's been doing recently, it's here. He looks like he got a $15 million settlement from Channing Stacks Lorenzo.
Wow.
He got a $62 million settlement for a former executive that his boss made him cut his hair and his beard and won $62 million for age discrimination. So just what he's been doing recently, he has been in the courtroom. So
Well, good for him.
Yep, stacking those bands, Len. So we'll see some of Luka. And that's week 14 in the league. Anything else, Len?
That's it. Let's get out of here. It's a late night.
All right. Yeah, we got to go. We got to go catch Dynamite. So we'll see all our boys in the Funk House. Don't forget to check them out. They just dropped an episode right before we started here. And we'll see all those guys this weekend. If you're listening, we'll see you then. And we'll see the rest of you back here in week 15 for Mr. Len Biggs. This is Mr. Just Right. We're Living Room Champs, and we're out of here.